Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, folks, to the Dr. C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Another hour of our great show here on Blog Talk Radio. 280,000 listeners strong. Wow. That is a record for me, because when I started this Blog Talk Radio show in 2010, I had one listener, just one, for a while, and he went by the name of Beach Bum. Beach Bum. He's since passed away. But he would tune in every night and listen to my show, and he would be the only one. And now I can say that I'm upwards of 300,000 listeners. So I'm very grateful for that. Thank you. Thank all of you. All right, today's date, Thursday, February 5th, 2015, United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. And you're going to spend another hour with me, Dr. C. Robert Jones, and the Situation Report. Let me ask you, folks. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen. You go to the National Prayer Breakfast, and you are the President of the United States. You go to the National Prayer Breakfast today. Then listen to me. The National Prayer Breakfast. There are in attendance thousands of Christians of one denomination or another. Fundamentalists, evangelicals, Protestants, Catholics, Episcopalians, the whole gamut. Why would you insult them? Why would you attempt to downplay militant Islam and insult Christianity? Why would you attempt to downplay Islamic extremism? Why would you attempt to put in perspective the actions being taken today by Al-Qaeda and ISIS and all the rest of them by claiming that just as many atrocities have taken place in the name of Christ? Why in the world would you make that point? Why in the world would you be even thinking that way? A good point was made earlier today. Atrocities have been committed in the name of Christ. Thousands of years ago. Hundreds of years ago. The Middle Ages. We have progressed as Christians. We don't go around chopping off heads or hands or blinding people or setting folks on fire. In this day and age. So, why in the world? When you are going to the National Prayer Breakfast, would your number one focus point, your number one focus point be is to insult the attendees? It's all over the news, all over the web. The president goes to the National Prayer Breakfast and puts his foot in his own ass yet again. Makes a mockery of himself. What in the world must have gone through Obama's head at the National Prayer Breakfast today? President Obama reminded attendees that violence rooted in religion is not exclusive to Islam, but it has been carried out by Christians as well. Yes. You don't believe it. You don't believe it, do you? You don't believe what I'm telling you. You don't believe what the doctor is cooking, do you? Because it's impossible. Just like that naked picture of Obama's mama I have posted on my Facebook page of her sitting under the Christmas tree buck naked. Folks don't believe that, sir. But you know what? I got the audio tape here. Take a listen to this. This person.
Well, the president speaking this morning at the National Prayer Breakfast, mentioning ISIS as well as the war on terror. Kevin Cork is live on the North Lawn at the White House with more. Kevin?
Yeah, good day to you. I mean, it was a very interesting change of pace for the president. I'm not going to suggest that the White House has heard the complaints. I'm not even going to say that they decided to maybe take a different tack. But it was clear, if you've listened to the way the president has previously described ISIS and terror under the guise of Islam, today was something else to listen to. Now, clearly, there will still be critics about the way the president is handling ISIS and about the way that he is supporting, or this administration is supporting countries like Jordan, for example. But listen very carefully to what the president had to say at this morning's National Prayer Breakfast.
We have seen violence and terror perpetrated by those who profess to stand up for faith, their faith. Profess to stand up for Islam, but in fact are betraying it. We see ISIS, a brutal, vicious death cult that, in the name of religion, carries out unspeakable acts of barbarism.
It's been delayed, it's been timid, and it's been ineffective. There is no leadership coming out of the White House. UAE did what they did because they want to join with a U.S. that leads, not a U.S. that tries to follow from behind.
Former Governor John Sununu and a former college professor of mine, a man who has a lot of experience here in Washington and understands the difference in the way one can publicly and perhaps even privately support some of the efforts that are going on around the world. And he is critical right now of the job being done by the president. Jenna?
Kevin Cork, live at the White House. Kevin, thank you.
All right. Welcome back. Now, we didn't get the audio that I really wanted to throw down. The audio of Obama lumping Christians but I'm sure you've heard it. You've had to have heard it. Obama, well, here's the gist of it. Now, Obama, and I quote, stated that we have seen violence and terror perpetrated by those who profess to stand up for faith, their faith. Profess to stand up for Islam, but in fact are betraying it. Humanity has been grappling with these questions throughout human history. And lest we get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades, thousands of years ago, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, he didn't put that in there though, and the Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. In our home country, slavery and Jim Crow all too often was justified in the name of Christ. Where shall I begin? Shall I begin? First of all, you ass, Mr. President, you ass. Christians are not going around, at least within the last couple of hundred years, lobbing off heads, cutting off hands and feet, blinding folks, maiming them, and of course, setting them on fire alive. Christians are not going around doing that. Not today. Not in the name of religion. You see, here's what I think. The President of the United States of America, Barack Hussein Obama, is a Muslim. He is not a Christian. He did not attend a Christian church. He doesn't profess to be a Christian. He attended Reverend Wright's Liberation Theology Church, which is not about God or Jesus or any of that. Black Liberation Theology. That was the church he attended for more than 20 years. Obama's not a Christian. He is a Muslim. Islam is the religion that Obama was raised in as a young boy. A lot of folks forget that. He is defending Islam and lumping Christianity in with the deeds of ISIS. Saying that, well, I guess we can understand that what ISIS is doing, because Christians did it too back in a couple thousand years ago, a couple hundred years ago. Let's go with 500 to 600 years. Now look, Christianity is not the problem today. Jim Crow, not around today. 1,000 years ago, yeah, but not today. Sharia law is the present day threat to individual and civil liberties all over the world. Sharia is not a narrow cult. Sharia law is Islam. The problem today is not Christianity. The problem today is that people are being killed, captured, conquered to advance and impose Sharia law. The Christians are doing no such thing and haven't. I don't know if ever on this scale. And for how long? I don't know a single Christian leader today who takes the past and uses it as an excuse to blast Christians today. Why in the world would that even be on your mind? And not just that, why would that be among the top things on your mind? What is this business about, let's get on our high horse and think this is unique? Let's not get on our high horse and think this is unique to some other place. It is unique here. Who among us is running around here on our high horse? If not the President of the United States. Who is it among us all in this country who doesn't seem to realize or want to admit the great threat that we all face today? It's not 1,000 years ago. Who is it that simply doesn't want to be or can't be honest about the modern day threat that ISIS and Al-Qaeda pose to the world? When I first read some of the tweets surrounding President Obama's comments at the White House prayer breakfast, my jaw dropped, folks. My jaw dropped. I literally gasped. I almost wept. Did he really say that? Did he really just say that? Did he have the balls to say that? Because, you know, yesterday's show was that he had no balls. That either he's nutless or Michelle keeps his nuts in a mason jar underneath their bed. But today, apparently, Barack Hussein Obama has balls as big as church bells. I guess he proved me wrong. Because when you stand up in front of hundreds of Christians, thousands, millions, who will hear and say, hey, you know what? Let's put this whole ISIS thing in perspective. Let's put this whole ISIS thing in its proper context. Sure, they're beheading people. Sure, they're burning folks alive. It's all good because you know what? Christians did it 1,000 years ago. 500 years ago, Christians did it. So let's get off our high horse and acknowledge that what ISIS is doing, it ain't nothing new. So let's not say that Islam is bad and that there are Islamic extremists. Let's not even go there because Christians, you know what? You burned down a few houses. You burned a few people at the stake 700-800 years ago. (sighs) just when I put up a blog talk radio show that says that Obama doesn't have any balls, he shows balls as big as church bells by suggesting that what ISIS is doing ain't bad at all. Because get off your high horse, America. Get off your high horse, Christians. So what if a Jordanian pilot was burned alive and videoed for all to see? Christians used to burn people at the stake in the name of Christianity 1,000 years ago. So get off your high horse. What a dumbass. We'll be right back, folks. You're listening to the Dr. C. Robert Jones Situation Report.
Health scandal is much more than just another broken 2008 promise.
I revere our soldiers and want to make sure that they are being treated with honor and respect.
Fast forward 6 years and more than 24 VA facilities now suspected of covering up delays in getting veterans urgent care, in some cases with deadly consequences.
We have to find out, first of all, what exactly happened.
Now, that moment, that wait-and-see statement last Wednesday at the White House might well be remembered as the breaking point.
President Obama, the most powerful man in the free world, always seems to be the last to know about what's going on in his own administration.
Forget for a moment that Republican outrage. More and more Democrats in key 2014 races are calling for the president to get a spine, they say, and fire his Veterans Affairs Secretary. And what more and more Democrats are saying privately is scathing, calling the president and his team detached, flat-footed, even incompetent. Maggie Haberman, that's what strikes me, what Democrats are saying privately. In the wake of the healthcare.gov problems, they see a president who doesn't want to take command, doesn't want to act fast, raising the competence question. Some Democrats who believe in government, this White House doesn't appear to have its hand on the lever.
Yeah, and you've heard for a long time this White House doesn't appear to quite have its hand on the lever at various points. But this week really marked something. This past week marked a change where you saw Obama with that very sort of tepid press conference. He was sort of in, sort of not in with Shinseki. He had a meeting about foreign policy with senators who were expecting him to be there. He wasn't there. They filed out. One of them said that he thought it was the most bizarre meeting he had been at in quite a while. All of this adds up to somebody who just doesn't seem at all involved.
All right. That pretty much says it right there. Welcome back, folks, to the Dr. C. Robert Jones Situation Report. The call in number is 347-884-8500. So, I listened to the sound bites from the president, and I'm still shaking my head. President Obama lumped Christians and murderous Islamic terrorists together. Here's some of what he said. I can't help myself. I got to do it. Quote, unless we get on our high horse and think that this is unique to some other place, remember that during the Crusades and Inquisition, people committed terrible deeds in the name of Christ. So it's not unique to one group or one religion. There is a tendency in us, a sinful tendency, that can pervert and distort our faith. Okay. I wonder if Obama's just dumb enough not to know that the Inquisition and the Crusades happened a really long, long time ago. And that today, Christians aren't doing that kind of stuff. Radical Islamics are burning young fighter pilots alive and chopping off heads and videoing it for all to see. That's the problem we face here today, Mr. President. Never mind what occurred, because I'm not disputing that men and women, maybe even children, were burned at the stake in the name of Christianity. Wars were fought in the name of Christianity. Violence occurred in the name of Christianity. I can't because it's history. It's true. But Mr. Obama, you jackass, that was a long, long time ago. The problems we face right here and now are in the present. And that is ISIS lobbing off heads and burning people alive. So don't try to change the subject. Don't try to misdirect, because that's all you're doing, Mr. President. You're attempting to misdirect. The same thing you did when you were blaming Bush for everything, even though it was all your fault. You know, I know you're a Muslim, Mr. President. I know you're a Muslim sympathizer. You grew up in the Muslim faith. There's no way to hide that. I know you're a closet Muslim and you're attempting to defend, you know, Islam. I get it. Why don't you just have the balls to come out and say that? Well, I guess you did, didn't you? I guess you did. Lumped. He practically blamed Christians for the religious fanatics who are burning men alive, burying children alive, and crucifying young boys. He blamed Christians for that. Yeah. What the president did this morning will haunt him for a very long time. He crossed the line. No. He pole vaulted over it, using some misguided moral equivalency. President Obama reached back over almost 1,000 years to compare a group of Christians then to current day radical Islamics, killing innocents in the name of Allah. Today, last month, in January alone, reports say that radical Muslim jihadists killed thousands of people. Last month, Mr. President, not 1,000 years ago, you idiot. And yet, when you combine Christianity, Judaism, Scientology, and the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and what are their combined killings in the name of religion? Well, the number would be zero. Sorry, Mr. President, I think you've gone too far. No, I'm not sorry. You've gone too far. I mean, you've gone too far several times already, and now you've gone even further than too far. And I've called you a dumbass many times. And each and every time, you've proven me to be correct. You're not the brightest bulb. But you know what? When I say, Mr. President, that you don't have any balls, I admit, I throw my hands up. I admit, I'm wrong. You've got balls as big as Christian church bells to stand in front of hundreds of Christians and insult them. And no. You owe all Christians an apology, me included. But that's not coming. You know that's not going to happen. He's not going to back. He's not even going to walk it back. He's probably very proud. You know what I'm thinking? He's sitting in the White House right now with his ugly wife, and he's thinking, I don't know what all fuss is all about. I don't know what's going on. It's true. Dumbass. President, yes, folks, the President of the United States just told the civilized world it has no moral standing to criticize the head choppers, child crucifiers, slave takers, and auto defense. Terrorists of the modern world, because the Crusades happened 1,000 years ago, so we have no moral standing. It's all good. The basic concept here is nothing new. Lazy, arrogant liberals have been babbling about the Crusades and Inquisition ever since Islamic terrorism became a big problem for the Western world. I'm sure some of those tools whined about the Crusades while the World Trade Center was still standing. It's the sloppiest intellectual dodge imaginable, a cheap and easy way to sound impartial and high-minded. Also, a way that an arrogant leftist such as Obama positions his own religion, the glory of the state above all others. Obama's worldview holds that everything prior to his own enlightened reign was a time of darkness and ignorance. Notice how he goes out of his way in these comments to bash not just the Crusades, but also Christianity's alleged defeat at the dawn of tolerant new leftism. In our own home country, slavery and Jim Crow were all too often justified in the name of Christ. This is a direct quote from Obama today. So was everything Dr. Martin Luther King said and did, you ass. Try looking up William Wilberforce and digesting what motivated him. It was Christ, you ass. To say that every strong belief system, religious or otherwise, can be abused by those hungry for power or eager to justify their worst impulses is such a banal observation as to be unworthy of utterance at any significant event, let alone the president speaking at the National Prayer Breakfast. The issue on the table is whether there are practically particularly dangerous belief systems at work in the world right now. Not only is Obama obscuring that issue, he's actually saying Christianity is worse than Islam because he accepts at face value the notion that Islamic atrocities have absolutely nothing to do with the religion cited to authorize them. But he holds Christianity totally and perpetually responsible for the Crusades. It would be a frustrating waste of time to try to educate someone like Obama on the actual origin of the Crusades as a defensive war against aggression. He's probably at least dimly aware of that. But it's an inconvenient fact of no use to his ideology. So he'll probably brush that aside. The story he wants to tell is of ignorant, crude humanity raised up by the glorious wisdom of the secular state and the moral colossus who commands it, among whom Barack Obama stands as the greatest titan of all. He came to the National Prayer Breakfast to call for worship of himself. Note how he follows up his Christian bashing with a celebration of his glorious expedition to fix India last week. Let me quote it for you. And I quote, "But we also see faith being twisted and distorted, used as a wedge or worse, sometimes used as a weapon. From a school in Pakistan to the streets of Paris, we have seen violence and terror perpetuated by those who profess to stand up for faith, their faith, profess to stand up for Islam, but in fact are betraying it. We see ISIL, a brutal, vicious death cult that in the name of religion carries out unspeakable acts of barbarism, terrorizing religious minorities like the Yiddish, Y-E-D-I-D-I-S, subjecting women to rape as a weapon of war, and claiming the mantle of religious authority for such actions." Michelle and I returned from India, an incredibly beautiful country full of magnificent diversity, but a place where in past years, religious faiths of all types have on occasion been targeted by other people of faith simply due to their heritage and their beliefs. Acts of intolerance that would have shocked Gandhi, the person who helped to liberate the nation. I can't go on with that crap. Obama is a moron. With sheer blind foolishness. What dangerous idiocy. It's terrifying to think our national defense is headed up by someone so willfully blind and shallow. Someone whose opinion of his own nation and its history is so bleak and slanted. He really can't see anything beyond the unyielding borders of his ideology. I hope the Islamic reformation ends well for them and everyone else. But until that great struggle is complete, we have plenty of mournful examples of what nations governed by Sharia law look like. We saw what nations founded on the principles of amoral atheist materialism look like in the first half of the 20th century, and the good men of the world were obliged to burn them all to the ground. And we know what a nation founded upon Judeo-Christian principles look like. Well, most of us do. The future must not belong to those who would slander Christianity by endlessly harping on the Crusades. What an idiot. Obama is. He's even more of an idiot than I ever thought he is, was. Just plain dumb. We got to take a break. Oh, my God. I'll be right back.
Hey there, students. I'm going to tell you something that about a third of you probably already know. Barack Obama is the worst president that we have had in this country since World War II. Now, at least that's what a new Quinnipiac poll says. According to this new poll, President Obama has been rated the worst president since World War II. According to the poll, 33%, one out of three respondents, said that President Obama is the worst president we have had since the Second World War. Why are people saying that? Besides possibly that he is the worst president that we have had since World War II, I'm going to go ahead and show you some reasons, because if you're taking AP government or you're just an American voter or something like that, you probably need to know something about polling. So let's look into some things besides the obvious that may be responsible for these results. So first of all, we can see here when we look at the polling numbers, right behind President Obama, we have George W. Bush. So for one thing, people have pretty short memories. When it comes to a president that you think is a good president or a bad president, a lot of times presidents are going to be more polarizing when they're in office, and it takes a while for that to wear off. If you look at presidential rankings, you see that Ronald Reagan, although academics didn't really like him when he was president, he has climbed through the ratings since then, the ones that are done by academics, not by polls. And with that in mind, you can see that George W. Bush and Barack Obama are both polarizing figures, that people in the other party think that they are absolutely horrible. And that contributes. So first of all, he is the current president, and you can see that he's followed behind by the most recent president before him. Now, another thing is that President Obama really has other competition. When you look at the best presidents, who people think the best presidents are, you see that President Obama actually comes in fourth by this measure. And the thing is that President Obama has two other presidents in the post-World War II era that are in his party, Bill Clinton and John F. Kennedy, who both get pretty high marks. Now, meanwhile, Republicans are pretty much unanimous when asked who is the best Republican president since World War II. You can see that Ronald Reagan is towering over anybody else, that Dwight Eisenhower at 5% is the closest competitor. So when you look at that, you see that Republicans are on the same page as to who their favorite president is, and Democrats are not. Now then, you look at worst presidents, and Republicans continue to be on the same page about who they think the worst president is. When you look at the, you know, what Democrats would say, you've got George W. Bush has some pretty substantial competition from Richard Nixon. I mean, after all, the guy did have to resign from office after the Watergate scandal. So George W. Bush, without help from Richard Nixon, he would probably be the worst. Meanwhile, when you look at Republicans, only 8% are choosing Jimmy Carter as the worst president, seeing that they believe the current president, Barack Obama, is a worse president. So they are less divided when it comes to who their favorite president is and who their least favorite president is. Now, how President Obama will be remembered years from now, who knows? But for now, Americans believe that he is the worst president since World War II. For more educational content, go ahead and subscribe, visit my website, Twitter, Instagram. Until next time.
Hello, my name is Elbert Lee Guillory, and I'm the senator for the 24th District right here in beautiful Louisiana. Recently, I made what many are referring to as a bold decision to switch my party affiliation to the Republican Party. I wanted to take a moment to explain why I chose to become a Republican, and also to explain why I don't think it was a bold decision at all. It is the right decision, not only for me, but for all my brothers and sisters in the black community. You see, in recent history, the Democrat Party has created the illusion that their agenda and their policies are what's best for black people. Somehow it's been forgotten that the Republican Party was founded in 1854 as an abolitionist movement with one simple creed, that slavery is a violation of the rights of man. Frederick Douglass called Republicans the party of freedom and progress, and the first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. It was Republicans in Congress who authored the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments, giving former slaves citizenship, voting rights, and due process of law. The Democrats, on the other hand, were the party of Jim Crow. It was Democrats who defended the rights of slave owners. It was the Republican President Dwight Eisenhower who championed the Civil Rights Act of 1957. But it was the Democrats in the Senate who filibustered the bill. You see, at the heart of liberalism is the idea that only a great and powerful big government can be the benefactor of social justice for all Americans. But the left is only concerned with one thing, control. And they disguise this control as charity. Programs such as welfare, food stamps, these programs aren't designed to lift black Americans out of poverty. They were always intended as a mechanism for politicians to control the black community. The idea that blacks, or anyone for that matter, need the government to get ahead in life is despicable. And even more important, this idea is a failure. Our communities are just as poor as they have always been. Our schools continue to fail children. Our prisons are filled with young black men who should be at home, being fathers. Our self-initiative and our self-reliance have been sacrificed in exchange for allegiance to our overseers, who control us by making us dependent on them. Sometimes I wonder if the word freedom is tossed around so frequently in our society that it has become a cliché. The idea of freedom is complex and it's all-encompassing. It's the idea that the economy must remain free of government persuasion. It's the idea that the press must operate without government intrusion. And it's the idea that the emails and phone records of Americans should remain free from government search and seizure. It's the idea that parents must be the decision makers in regards to their children's education, not some government bureaucrat. But most importantly, it is the idea that the individual must be free to pursue his or her own happiness, free from government dependence, and free from government control. Because to be truly free is to be reliant on no one other than the author of our destiny. These are the ideas at the core of the Republican Party, and it is why I am a Republican. So, my brothers and sisters of the American community, please join with me today in abandoning the government plantation and the party of disappointment, so that we may all echo the words of one Republican leader who famously said, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
Anchor and managing editor of the NBC Nightly News. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, our good friend, Brian Williams. Mr. Williams, come on in.
What you may not know, my son,
the male heir to the Williams fortune, is Douglas, in effect, Douglas Williams.
So
nice we named him once.
But at no time in his life did you refer to him as Douglas.
No. Not since Boutros
Ghali. There you go.
Boutros Ghali. They can try.
chocolate, Boutros. Am I the first to notice that your Harry voice is the same as
Julia
your
Child.
Julia
That's
Child
right.
voice?
This is, I have a very limited repertoire.
Okay.
Now, here, this is touchy stuff, and I'll try to be, I'm the soul of discretion. A few months ago, there was some trouble at NBC on the vaunted Good Morning Show. What do they call it? The Today Show.
Yeah.
Am I going to wake up in the shower?
No. Please. No, you're fine.
Please tell me I'm going to wake up and it's going to be morning and I'm going to say, hey, I'm doing great tonight.
It's all good. A dream. No, now listen.
All right.
And then one thing led to another.
All right, that's Brian Williams. You know, Brian Williams has been going around talking tough. Like he's this his warrior. His helicopter was shot down in Iraq a couple of years back, 3-4 years ago. And he's been talking about it for like years. Every chance he gets, he starts talking about how his plane was shot down and how he spent two harrowing nights in a sandstorm and all of that. And turns out that he got called out like hundreds of times. Finally, he felt the heat, and he decided that he was gonna say he was sorry. You know, gonna come clean. But in coming clean, he just substituted one lie for another one, and he got called out again. I guess he somehow thinks that, you know, okay, it's cool, you know, I can tell this story and nobody's going to, like, check me. You know, I can lie about, you know, experience in wartime and no one's going to call me out because I'm Brian Williams. I don't know. What is that all about? Did he not think that he was going to get caught? He was not going to get called out? And King Abdullah, we're gonna get to a couple things for it because we run out of time here and we won't be back until Monday. King Abdullah is going full beast mode on the Islamic State. The king cuts short a visit to the White House so he can return to Jordan and personally lead the effort to fight the Islamic savages. King Abdullah is a former general and special forces commander, a friend to the United States, an ally in the war on terror. He's going hard. He's quoting Clint Eastwood. He's quoting the movie Unforgiven, and he's going to back it all up. Wow. President Obama is blaming Christians for the Crusades and for Jim Crow. He's blaming America. It's America's fault why all this is going down. It all stems from us and Christianity and the Crusades. The sooner that Barack Hussein Obama leaves office, the better. I mean, seriously. Dude, you have worn out your welcome. You started off with such high approval ratings. Folks loved you. Everybody thought you were cool. Hope, change, all that crap. And you turned out to be the worst president in the history of this great nation, and a complete and utter dumbass. So, with that in mind, we're going to say goodnight, and we'll see you on Monday. Wow, I can't wait to see what's going to happen next. What is this guy going to say next? I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. You make this show a success and what it is. all of the direct listens and the downloads and all that, and the listening on the internet and in your car on Spreaker and all that. That's great. I certainly do appreciate it. I'm deeply flattered by it. Hope y'all have a great night, a great Friday, and a wonderful weekend. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. We're out.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's fine. And we want you to sleep well tonight. Let the world turn without you tonight. If we try, we'll get by, so forget all about us tonight.
Everything's all right, yes. Everything's all right, yes.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you, for your hot forehead. Then you feel everything's all right, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment's sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes. Close your eyes and relax. Think of nothing tonight.
Hey, hey, woman, you're buying ointment brand new and expensive. Should have been saved for the poor. Why has it been wasted? We could have raised maybe 300 silver pieces or more. People were hungry. People who are starving, they matter more than your feet and hair.
Try not to get worried, try not to turn on to problems that upset you. Don't you know everything's all right? Yes, everything's all right, yes.
Surely you're not saying we have the resources to save the poor from their lot. There will be poor always, pathetically struggling. Look at the good things you've got. Think while you still have me, move while you still see me. You'll be lost. And you'll be sorry when I'm gone.
Sleep and I shall soothe you, calm you, and anoint you for your hot forehead. Then you feel everything's alright, yes, everything's fine. And it's cool and the ointment's sweet for the fire in your head and feet. Close your eyes, and relax, think of nothing tonight. Close your eyes, and relax. Close your eyes.